Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Yo, what is up, my friends? Welcome to What the French Toast, your favorite podcast on the internet. It leaves you asking yourself the question, what the French toast did I just listen to? I'm Skylar.
I'm Megan. And just a heads up, side effects of this podcast may include goosebumps, jaw drops, and uncontrollable what the French toast moments.
Look, we get it, okay? You're tired of the same old podcasts.
You want weird, but in like a fun way, not my cousin just joined a cult weird.
Right. So if true crime keeps you glued to the couch.
And if conspiracies make you suspicious of your Alexa.
Or if ghosts encrypted sound like really solid Friday night plans.
Then congrats, you found your podcast.
We're just two best friends, and we probably laugh way too hard while also diving into the bizarre, the chilling, and honestly, the straight-up unexplainable.
But we don't promise answers, just chaos and good vibes.
New episodes drop every single Thursday wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Come and get weird with us.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Do you like cracking into curious creatures? Perhaps you ponder the paranormal. Have you ever got a hankering for the haunted? Ever entertained the existence of extraterrestrials? Or have you ever just wanted to hear genuine encounters of any kind? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, then Cryptids, Creeps, and Conspiracy Podcast is right up your alley. So grab your sense of humor and open your mind as we take a journey to uncover the mysteries behind kooky critters, spooky specters, enigmatic entities, and the controversial conspiracies that surround them. Buckle up, because we're going to have a good time.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us yet again for another Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy episode. How are you today, Mom?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited for this story today.
Are you?
Yes.
Cool.
What are you going to be telling us about?
I'm going to be telling you about the last man executed in France.
Okay.
And the story behind his...
Please tell me it's guillotine. Executed. Guillotine, whatever.
It's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a surprise.
Okay. I know the French love their guillotines.
Yes.
What
are you telling us?
I'm going to be talking about interrogation techniques.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So just to preface this, after this episode, if you're interested in learning more about interrogation techniques, go to, I think his name is Tommy G on YouTube. He does like a, I don't know if I'd call it gonzo news, but he's like a news reporter basically, but he goes and like, oh, today I'm doing a ride along with the SWAT team kicking in doors. Today I'm going to the most dangerous city in Memphis, or the most dangerous part of Memphis, and like hanging out with the Bloods and the Crips and stuff like that. So he's
interesting.
Like,
interesting. Okay.
He kind of goes into the criminal underworld and reports from inside. Like, he's super, super entertaining to watch. Like, he...
Okay. That sounds dangerous.
He interviewed a multi-million dollar car thief. Like, he steals like $100,000 cars and shit like that. And
wow.
It's super interesting. But he did... So he talked to CIA guys in Blackwater, the contractors, and got them to do interrogation techniques on him and another podcaster. And he tried to see like how long he could, but it was just simple questions like, what is 2 plus 3? And then he'd say the wrong answer and then get tortured and shit. It was super interesting. But to go with this story, I have the, hang on, let me, I gotta close this ad. I have the interrogation cocktail, which right on the money.
There we go.
So it's 1/2 ounce raspberry liqueur, 1.5 ounce of fruit juice. Doesn't specify, just use whatever sounds good to you. And 1.5 ounce of white rum mixed with crushed ice and serve in an old fashioned glass. So I found cranberry, raspberry, apple juice, and that's the juice that I used.
Oh.
Except I that feel would be like good. It would play good with the raspberry liqueur. Which I also
think
forgot.
You
I just
are
used
correct.
Raspberry rum.
I used fruit punch.
Oh, okay.
For my juice. I don't know how it's going to go.
I feel
go.
Like this could go really good or really bad.
I told your dad I needed fruit juice, and fruit punch is what we had. And so we'll find out.
Oh, man, that is very sweet. It's hangover juice.
Right?
It's something like
there needs
a 15-year-old girl would
drink. Raspberry liqueur. That's like cough syrup.
Yeah. We're getting wasted on a Friday night. That's what it tastes like. It's so weird.
That's gross. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. It could be worse. It's just so sweet. I don't like sweet drinks. I like my drinks to have like a bite to them. But yeah, that's... It could be worse. That's all I'll say. I'll go with that. Could be worse.
It could be worse, but it could be a lot better. Mm.
Yeah, you got to drink this drink with a glass of water next to you.
Yep. It's also going down the drain, just like last week's.
Okay, let's get into these interrogation techniques. So interrogation, the act of asking questions of someone, usually a prisoner or suspect, closely, aggressively, or formally in the search of answers. We all know about interrogations, but there are several kinds. Today I'll be talking about some of these kinds of interrogation. Interrogation in layman terms usually includes a detective or police officer asking a suspect or perpetrator questions in a small or confined room in order to fully understand either the nature of their crimes or who else was involved. Lots of different things you can learn from an interrogation, basically.
Right.
However, and after...
Oh. I think there's... I'm assuming that you're going to cover some techniques that are not legal.
Well, yes and no. The legality of interrogation techniques has changed between presidents. Like some.
True.
Well, yeah, I'll get into it.
Okay.
So after the 9/11 attacks, a new guideline to interrogations was put forth by the CIA and the Bush administration. I couldn't find much on their techniques before, but.
Okay.
We'll talk about some. I guess primitive, not like some older techniques that were used that were not
okay.
So nice.
Okay.
So,
right.
The CIA paid $81 million to two psychologists to develop an interrogation method that would reduce casualties.
Two people.
I'm sure
were
they had
paid...
a company, but yeah, they hired two psychologists to do this. And they worked from, I think it was 2001 to 2007, I want to say. I think Obama canceled their contract. But
that's
I'm not
so
for sure.
much money.
Yeah.
That's so much money.
I could
money.
Tell you how to interrogate someone for free. It seems pretty simple to me.
Yes. Pay me a fraction
pay me
of
$1
that.
$1
million. 1%. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm happy. Give me 10%. 1%. I'd be happy with that.
The U.S., particularly the CIA, needed to use interrogations to interview people suspected of or planning attacks on U.S. soil to prevent the loss of life of American citizens, especially after 9/11.
Yes.
Two doctors using the pseudonyms Grayson Swigert and Hammond Dunbar were hired by the CIA and the DIA to come up with techniques that would put someone through immense pain without threatening loss of life or permanent injury. So that's kind of the definition, I guess, between torture and interrogation is if it causes loss of life or permanent injury. So you can't
then it's torture.
Scoop someone's eyeball out because that's permanent injury.
That's
or
torture.
Or break their fingers. Yeah, that's torture. But waterboarding, technically, okay. If it doesn't kill you, then it's interrogation.
But it could kill you. You could drown definitely. From being waterboarded.
100%. 100%. A lot of these things we're talking about could kill you, but if done right, won't.
If you survive, then they're like, we didn't torture you because you survived. That's a real loose definition.
It is. That's kind of.
I don't like that definition. Yeah.
It's a legal gray area. We'll just call it that.
For sure. For sure. I don't like gray.
I don't want people to be tortured, but I also would like the CIA to know what's happening.
100%. Yes.
It's kind of a gray area.
Yes.
So Congress had decided at that point that any type of torture was okay as long as it didn't result in permanent life-altering injuries or death. So the psychology students set out to determine the best method to extract questions from a prisoner. Both psychologists worked at the U.S. SEER School, or the Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape School, which sounds fucking awful. I don't know if every military personnel has to do that, but I know like the SEALs and stuff have to do that. And
Special Forces.
You're basically just tortured for a week or more. Like,
yes. There's a show. I can't remember. I want to say I covered it in.
I think if it's a show,
a Chaser.
I think you did. Yeah.
There was a show on that took like celebrities. From some of them were sports people, some of them were TV celebrities, some of them were musicians, just you name it, kind of not like Brad Pitt or anybody, but, you know, lower
like
level, quote unquote, celebrities, right? And a lot of former athletes, like professional athletes, would go on this show. They've done 3 or 4 seasons now where they train with special ops and they go through some of the same things. And one of the tasks that they have to go through is like some SEER training stuff and exposure to gas,
like
and
CS
like tear
gas
and trying to navigate a building after they've been tear gassed and stuff like that. And
like Ready or Not,
I watch it. And I'm like, I don't want any
I don't
want to
do
that.
No, fuck that. I don't want to be pepper sprayed. I don't want to be tased.
Thank you.
Because I know cops have to go through that. Like when you become a cop, you have to get tased. No, thanks.
Yes.
I'm okay.
And when I worked for 911, they had just gotten tasers. And there was an officer, I will not say his name, I think he worked for the sheriff's office at the time and then later moved to the police department, but he got tased and they recorded it and got to see his reaction and people made so much fun of him for his reaction because he screamed like a girl.
I couldn't be a cop because if I was in his situation, I'd be tasing everyone that made fun of me. I'd be like, you want to see what it's like, bitch?
Yes.
I'll fucking tase you.
Right.
So anyways, these psychologists, they worked at the SEER school, which helped train future U.S. soldiers to endure questioning by countries that did not adhere to the Geneva Convention protections. So the Geneva Convention protected wounded soldiers from undergoing torture methods while they were a prisoner of war. Some nations agreed to these terms, while some didn't.
And some didn't.
Yeah.
My question is, did the ones that agree to it also adhere to this, well, if you survived it, then we didn't torture you mindset?
It's not torture if you survived it, apparently.
That's a weird definition, but yeah. Okay.
So the U.S. found it useful to train these soldiers against some of the common torture techniques. But these psychologists found those exercises more as useful data rather than training. Because you see, you're sending people through SEER school. You're doing all these different techniques. You know, you can see what breaks people more, what's less effective, okay. What's more effective.
Okay.
So these psychologists implemented techniques that most wouldn't have been considered, including intense heat, intense cold, stress positions, sleep deprivation, isolation, claustrophobia, loud sounds, religious or sexual humiliation, and restrictive breathing.
None of these sound fun.
Oh,
no, but the restrictive breathing one is the one that makes me go, absolutely not.
If you can breathe, it's all this is such a hazy gray area.
Yes.
So these two psychologists learned and adapted their techniques from psychologist Martin Seligman, I don't know, who tested, this guy sounds like a piece of shit, he tested electric shock on dogs to break their will.
No, I don't like him.
Piece of shit.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Psychologists are creepy motherfuckers, dude, I swear.
Yep. Nope, that's terrible.
They're gross. So after the 9/11 attacks, the CIA gained hold of Abu Zubaydah, and many of these techniques were honed in his interrogation. Previously, the U.S. had determined that waterboarding was illegal and actually prosecuted Japanese and German interrogators after World War II. However, they changed their stance on this after the 9/11 attacks. So,
of course. They were like, we don't like it, but let's use it and be like, it's okay now.
Bush actually came forward in 2002 and is quoted in saying, the Geneva Convention does not apply to Al-Qaeda or Taliban.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
This whole thing is just gray area city.
At the time, I understand, but that's a real bad precedent to be setting.
From a real bad president.
So, I don't like
Let's talk about some of the non-torture techniques the CIA uses today. Again,
they're not.
If you want better visuals of these, check out that Tommy G video because most of these he simulates in a non-interrogation style, okay. I guess. But so waterboarding. Waterboarding
is the technique.
I was
just going to say, did he get waterboarded?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Oh. But it's not like the kind that I'm about to describe. It was a little different, but still the same thing. So waterboarding is the technique of attaching someone to a declining board. A fabric is wrapped around the suspect's face and water is poured onto the face of the prisoner. What this does is simulate the feeling of drowning. This is because the fabric traps liquid and makes it significantly harder to breathe because the wet cloth is filling in the airway when you try and breathe.
Yeah. So, it feels like you're drowning because you're drowning.
Yeah. But you can still get oxygen through the mask, but you're getting more water too. And
you're still
if
drowning.
You tried to breathe in I don't know if you've ever tried this. I've tried not like simulate it, but put a wet rag over your face. And when you breathe, it just sucks it into your mouth or your nose.
It's gross.
It's super scary. So in the video, what they did is they put a bag over his head and had him in a kneeling position and dumped water on his head. So he's still breathing in the wet fabric, but it wasn't in the decline
He wasn't upside down.
Laying on your back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So another method is stress positions, which I never thought of this before I watched the video. It's super. So this includes binding a person in a way that it is impossible to get comfortable. This could mean a lot of things. So here's an example. If you put a person on their knees while handcuffed and push their torso backwards just enough so they can fall backwards. But they have to hold themselves up by their ab muscles,
by your core. Yeah.
This also puts pressure on their feet, knee, and other joints that wouldn't normally be stressed like that.
Needed. Yeah.
But prevent the subject from moving, because your knees hurt so fucking bad, but they're keeping you like out of position. Like someone's putting their hand above you so you can't sit up forward, right. But you can't go fall back either.
Back.
So you're just stuck in this fucking awful position.
Sounds like something they do to me at the gym.
Yeah. AJ would do that.
Yeah.
So this could also mean chaining a person's hands and feet at a point where it would be painful for them to kneel down or fully stand up. So they're just squatting in a weird way.
Oh, hate that.
Yeah. Along with this technique, the hypothermia technique is also used. So this, you'd be stuck in this squatting position, and then every hour or so, someone would come in with a bucket of ice water and throw it on you.
Oh.
So you're stuck just using mainly two muscles just to hold yourself, your entire body up, instead of your whole leg system. You're just using like your quads. Someone dumps a bucket of ice water on your head.
Fucked Yuck. Up. I don't like this.
So another technique that was used was loud music or sounds combined with sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
So this was controversial in the Siege of Waco because the FBI continuously used loud and erratic noises to try and convince the Branch Davidians to leave home. They had those giant speakers outside just playing like dolphin noises and like
crying babies.
Just white noises. Yeah. Like white noise compared with like the most annoying sounds you could think of. So another technique was striking, but only in the abdomen. They weren't allowed to punch you in the face, but they could punch you in the gut.
They just constantly gut punch you.
Many interrogations used a combination of these techniques to break a suspect. So while the previous methods I spoke about were happening, they would randomly punch you in the stomach and inflict pain.
No!
Yeah.
This is terrible.
So another technique similar to stress positions was to put the suspect into a locked box that was too small for them to fully stretch out in, but not small enough where they could curl up into a ball.
Oh, yeah. I hate it.
And they just lock you in there and then play loud music and put you in a cold room. And
right. Pour ice water over your head as you're upside down.
So this technique, I do not like at all. Not all.
Well, I don't like any of them so far. Controversial.
But it was using forced enemas.
No. No. So, no.
According to CIA records, one suspect being interrogated was fed his lunch through a forced enema.
No.
Ajit Khan, who was an American citizen that left to join Al-Qaeda, was arrested in Pakistan and given to the CIA. His diet of hummus, pasta with sauce, and nuts was reportedly fed to him via forced enema.
Backwards.
Yes.
Backwards.
CIA Director Michael Hayden said that out of the 100 prisoners questioned, only about 30 of them ever experienced these interrogation techniques, which I do not believe at all. I don't believe that there was 100 prisoners, and I don't believe they didn't use it on all of them. I believe there was thousands, if not more.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's hard. You can't find numbers on how many people the CIA has interrogated, though. So.
No.
The director said it was only about 100, but I don't believe him.
Sure. What percentage of that real number?
Maj Khan was one of 119 detainees who had been fed rectally. So, obviously, there's more than 100. There's 119. And those ones were just the ones that got forced enemas.
Yeah. That. Yuck.
Yeah. It would also hydrate them like that. So, your mouth is just dry, but you're not dehydrated, technically, I guess. But still. Fucking awful.
Hate it.
While the U.S. government has changed or altered what is acceptable compared to torture versus interrogation, that is what is happening to you if you end up with questions that the CIA wants answered. While these seem awful to endure, let's take a look at some wicked medieval torture techniques.
Okay. Those are...
Rat torture.
Oh, my. Ugh.
A bucket is placed on a person's stomach with a rat inside. The person's strapped down. The bucket is heated up, which makes the rat flee. Where can the rat go if it's put inside an upside-down bucket?
Through.
The rat would chew a hole through the person's stomach to escape the hot bucket. Boiling pot. This is pretty
self-explanatory.
Throughout Asia and England, many people were boiled as a form of execution to extract answers from someone. Quartering. This included tying subjects' limbs to four different horses and having them run in different directions, basically ripping you in half.
Quarters.
I'm gonna mess up the pronunciation on this one, but Poena Culi. This is an ancient Roman torture technique that included sewing the victim into a sack with a vicious animal such as a wild dog, a snake, or a rooster, and throwing the bag into the river. So the rooster's drowning and trying to attack you, and you're drowning and trying to get away from the rooster.
Oh my God. This is terrible.
And finally, we have scaphism. A victim is placed on a boat where they were force-fed milk and honey, which would usually result in diarrhea. But they were also covered in milk and honey and left to bake in the sun. This would result in a large amount of bugs to occur, which would often lead to victims dying of bug infestations, dehydration, or heat stroke.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that's interrogations.
So, Declan, remember how I said that you were supposed to do a bizarre story?
Yeah.
It ended this up was brutal. Supposed to be your bizarre story.
Yeah,
my story is brutal. So you're supposed to do bizarre. And that was so brutal. That was beyond gross.
But if they didn't die, it's not torture. So that makes it brutal, right? Yeah. They didn't die. The last part I just threw in because I thought it was interesting. The last part was definitely brutal. But yeah.
Man.
That's the definition between torture and interrogation. You can't let someone get killed with bugs or by a rooster, but you can waterboard them and freeze them, feed them through their ass.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, that was bad.
Do I want to know if the YouTube guy, if he had to have the forced enema?
He didn't talk about that. I don't think he can show that on YouTube, but...
Probably not, but oh my goodness. Yeah, that was rough. I don't like it.
Let's hear about your story.
I wish I had a bizarre story because that was so brutal, but okay, we're going brutal on brutal on brutal. Apparently my story is in France. Hamida Jandoubi. I'm probably gonna destroy some names, but I did go to pronouncenames.com and got some guidance. However, I multiple sources pronounced some of these names differently, so I apologize in advance, and if I'm wrong, so be it. But our guy in the story is Hamida Jandoubi. He was born September 22nd in 1949 in Tunisia. He moved to Marseille, France in 1969. He worked mostly as a landscaper, and in 1971, while working, he suffered a severe accident and lost most of his right leg, which forced him to wear a prosthetic. While in the hospital recovering from the accident, he met Elizabeth Bousquet. The two had a romantic relationship for a while, but it took a turn when Hamida forced Elizabeth to do things she didn't want to do. Maybe the prosthetic prevented him from doing landscaping or having another kind of job, but he decided that his next job was going to be being a pimp.
Oh.
However.
I didn't realize.
However.
I never thought of French pimps. Usually when you think of a pimp, you think of like purple suit with a big hat.
Purple velour suit with a fuzzy hat. Yeah, no. This was in the 70s. And in France, the problem with him being a pimp was that he was forcing people to do it. They did not want to participate as sex workers, but he made them anyway.
Sex trafficker sounds more like it.
Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the girls he chose to do the sex work did not choose that job for themselves. This new career path seemed to have started with Elizabeth, but she was able to get away and she reported it to the police. In 1973, Hamida was arrested, but not long after that, he was released. She reported him and they were like, you can't just go force people doing sex work. But, you know, it's 1973. They didn't really care too much about a lot of stuff and they let him go. He was able to coerce other teenage girls to come with him, and he forced them into sex work as well. Not satisfied with just forcing girls to work for him because he's a horrible person, he went after Elizabeth because she had reported him for it. You're not a cool guy enough to just be a sex trafficker, but now you got to go after the person that reported you. In July 1974, he kidnapped her and took her back to his house where the other girls were. The girls were forced to watch as he raped, burned, and assaulted Elizabeth. He then drove her to an isolated location. Yes, with like a cigarette lighter. He burned her with a cigarette lighter on her genitals and her breasts and other parts of her body. Yeah, he's a monster that gets a fitting end at the end.
Good.
He drove her to an isolated location and strangled her to death. Elizabeth's body was discovered a few days later. A month later, Hamida kidnapped another young girl, presumably to also force into sex work because he's such a piece of shit. He was soon arrested. She was able to escape, and she reported him to the police.
That's good.
I don't know if she had to, you know, she got away. He was soon arrested and stood trial for the rape, torture, and murder of Elizabeth. The trial took a few years to conclude, but he was eventually convicted of Elizabeth's murder in 1977. The aggravating factors were the teen girls that he forced into sex work, and they were also the witnesses to what he had done to Elizabeth. So I guess if you're going to commit horrendous crimes, don't have witnesses, but whatever.
That seems like
he was...
The first rule. Yeah. Don't talk about Fight Club. Just don't have witnesses.
Right. Keep your damn mouth shut. He was sentenced to death in France back in the 70s. There wasn't much time between the sentencing and the carrying out of the death penalty. We've covered a few American cases where somebody was sentenced to death and it took years, decades, whatever.
Yeah, they just sit on death row for...
Yeah, they get appeal after appeal after appeal. You know, I think.
Well, even if they don't get an appeal, they just sit there. And if like the state, like California, I think they reverted the death penalty. Like they don't do.
Yeah, they got rid of it.
There's still people on death row there. You're just sitting there for now. It's not death row.
Now it's just a life sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hamida didn't get years to sit on death row, though. He was executed just a few months after he was sentenced. The death sentence was carried out in September 1977, and in a way that we have never covered before. You mentioned the guillotine.
Guillotine? He got guillotined?
He got guillotined.
Oh, fuck yeah. In the 70s?
Yes. In 1977.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
That is
if there's a way, I had no idea.
That might be the best way to be executed. It's just,
I would think so. Chink.
Whole thing's done. Lights out.
Yep.
I think the head, like, there's stories though that the head stays alive for a couple seconds.
and one of the sources that I saw for this, they said that that was the case. I don't know if that's true or not. That he, like, there was still movement happening for a second or two after he was beheaded. Again, don't know if that's true. Well, I mean, don't know how the source had that information, but
like snakes, I think when you cut, because I think like what
chickens,
a lot of people
too,
do,
from
kill
what
them,
I've heard.
If you, yeah, there's a chicken that lived for like a year after his head got cut off.
Well,
I think we
there's
talked
the
about
whole.
That, but...
The whole statement of a chicken running around with its head cut off, you know, oh, I'm like a chicken with my head cut off. I've never
like
cut the head off a chicken. I don't know if
firing,
it's true.
Getting all the last of their juice out, I guess. But
I don't like it.
Yeah, I would.
Hamida was the last person executed by guillotine in France, and he was the last person executed at all. Because in 1981, France outlawed capital punishment altogether. So no
capital
more
punishment or capital murder.
Punishment. Capital punishment is what they consider for, it's what they term execution. So no more death penalties.
I thought that was capital murder. Because capital punishment sounds
that's
like
what,
they're not gonna put you in jail.
That's what the perpetrator is committing in certain regions. It's called, like, instead of first degree murder, they call it capital murder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Every like state is a little different in how they term it and what the qualifications are to meet that term, but no more death penalties in France since 1981. And no more guillotine.
France is next to Belgium, right?
Yes, I believe that, so. I don't know. I'm bad with
Belgian
geography. You know that.
Get death penalty.
There's bad people everywhere.
Paul Van Boynens. That guy should be fucking set to death. Well, do you have a chaser for us?
I do have a chaser, and my chaser is a website that I found, and it is for cat lovers like you and I. The website is purrli.com, spelled P-U-R-R-L-I. It is a website of cat purring sounds, and they believe that it helps calm people and cats alike who are listening to it. And you can change the speed and the quality of the purring sound by using little toggle buttons. So you can make it like a relaxed purr or an excited purr or a happy purr or a content purr. And it's got all these, I don't know, it was like 6 or 7 different sliders that you can change the speed of the purr. It's a slow purr. It's a fast purr. And then you just listen to purring, kitty cat purring sounds.
That's awesome.
I've never heard your cat Lulu purr because she hates all people besides you.
Yeah.
But my cat
purrs pretty good.
My cat does not purr. Very rarely does she purr. But
I think your cat's missing a couple chromosomes.
She probably is. She purrs occasionally, but it's completely silent. The last two cats that I've owned have been silent purrers. You can feel them purring, but you cannot hear it. And it bums me out.
When Lulu does purr, she's pretty loud. You can see her on the corner. Of the
Miss
bed.
Loud purring cats. I see her. Miss Lulu.
She's sleeping.
Oh.
My chaser.
What chaser do you have?
My chaser is a YouTube channel called It's the Said Life. That's said as in C-E-D. All one word. But
C-E-D. It's
lady that makes cooking videos for her dogs. So she, I guess I'm only watching the shorts. I've only seen the shorts, but.
Are the dogs supposed to be cooking, or is she cooking dog food?
She's cooking human food, but for dogs. So like she has a little wiener dog and a chihuahua mix, it looks like. But they're so well behaved. The best behaved dogs I've ever seen. They just sit in front of the food while it's cooking, just sitting behind like the little table that they have. And she'll make like a dog tail, which is like a mocktail for dogs. Like,
a paw secco.
She pulled out a bottle of paw secco, which is just bone broth in a champagne bottle. She'll do that. And then she'll cook.
I love it.
Just like egg rolls or something, but instead of egg roll wrapper, she uses like a super thin fried egg wrapper type thing. It's all like dog safe food that looks like human food, and it's like prepared like a cooking video, and the dogs just sit there and watch the whole time. It's so cute.
That is so cute.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to check
just sit
that
there
out
and not move while there's like a whole pork loin in front of them is insane.
No kidding. Yeah. Maybe they're green screen dogs. They're not really there.
Well, they eat it at the end. So,
well, maybe they have to be green screen dogs until the end, and then they can eat it.
Yeah, probably.
Our dogs are not good enough to even sit and ignore
still
food
for half a second.
Yes. Yeah. That's probably my fault. I should have trained them better.
It's
but
a fun little.
It's not their fault. I'm a bad
YouTube
dog
channel
owner
to watch.
I'll have to check it out.
Well, I think that just about wraps up today's episode. Thanks for joining us again, everybody. Sorry,
thanks,
my story
everyone
wasn't as pleasant as
someone
would have liked, but
I'm going to start coming up with more gross brain stuff to torture you with.
Well, it didn't technically fall under brutal until the very end where I talked about the brutal medieval shit,
true.
But we don't do
that's
that
true
anymore.
Yeah.
We don't let people get infected with bugs.
Thank goodness. But ugh, I don't like it.
Alrighty. Love you, Mom.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.